Okay, I think it's time to start. So we're going to start. My name is Kelly Romero, and this is Plan Something for Them, or They're Plan Something for You. So let's pray. Father, we beseech your throne, just asking for advice, Lord, on how we can spend that time with the children that you allow us to be with. Spend that time and make it count for them. Father, as we prep every week and as we receive our curriculum schedule and as we try to fight to keep release time in the schools that they're currently at, Lord, and fight against being shut down, and Father, we just give it to you. You know the outcome. But today, Lord, I pray that the time that we have together, that you would help us with the tools just to make our time with these kids a bit better and realize that what we do is significant, and it's only because of you. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. So I gave you kind of a nice little fun way to break the ice with your kids. So if you have that funny name game, go ahead and put it on your chest, because I want to. And if you, I'm not going to call because it's a tongue twister, but some of you have already put, what was your?
Fluffy pizza sniffer.
Your fluffy pizza sniffer, yes. So write your name out. Yep, one word. Let's see. Hilda, did you get your name, let's see. Do we have another half sheet? Do you have a half sheet of paper? There we go. Yeah, this one. There we go. That's for you. So you can do that with your kids, and they can have a good laugh. Sometimes if you go ahead of your curriculum and you have 5 minutes to spare, this is kind of a fun activity to do. With your, what does yours say?
Naughty.
Hamster. Hamster. Potatoes. This is naughty hamster potatoes. Some are real funny. I don't know what mine is. I forgot. Stinky pinky diaper.
Pinky diaper head.
Pinky diaper head. Wow. What's yours back there? Poopsie banana fingers? Oh, my goodness. Just kind of a funny name game you could do with your kids. Or if you lead something, an adult gathering, you could do that as well. It's kind of fun to do that. I love when they forget they have them on, they go to lunch with it on. That's pretty funny. Pretty funny. First Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Okay? There are a lot of challenges that you guys face for release time and Sunday school teachers, but the four challenges that we're going to focus on today, if applied, okay, will better equip you in your role. So are you ready? Number one, the thing that we need to focus on as a Sunday school teacher, release time teacher, is lesson preparation. That's the fill in the blank. Lesson what?
Preparation.
1 Corinthians 9:22. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save something. When you walk into your bus, there's 15, 20 kids, and for each one of those, yeah, here. There you go. For each one of those, you're going to be something different to each one of them, okay? But the Lord will use you in a special, special way. He's going to divide you up 15 different times to be what that child needs for the day. Can I get an amen? So know that you don't have to teach these children, but you get to. Okay? Having this mindset will help you, and it's half the battle of fulfilling your commitment. What I want you to do is, this is the next fill in the blank, realize that your position that you have is a position of honor. What is it? A position of what? Honor. After all, Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be what? Refreshed. Don't we need refreshing today? Amen. Well, what does that look like? And how can you better prep for your lesson? Well, I listed here, what? Be a person of prayer. Be a person of prayer. Ask to decrease as you increase. And if you're new, okay, pray against the fear. And if you're new, get with another teacher and ask them how they do it. You need some more handouts? Here's some right here. Okay. So be a person of what? Prayer. I just spent about 3 or 4 days with 2,000 of us in Florida. And the one thing that they focused on the first day of the conference, it's the Children's Pastors Conference, CPC, was self-care, was prayer. They had stations for us to meditate on His Word, to do some activities. And I thought that was very beneficial, because sometimes the simplest thing of praying is something that we don't do. So if you want to prep your lesson in a way that's effective to help you be a person of what? Prayer. The other thing you need to do is to be prepared. So this is done by reviewing your lesson on Monday for Sunday. Reviewing your lesson when? Monday for Sunday. And what I have here, if you 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. I have a basic system for prepping. Before you leave, I want you to pick this up, okay? It talks about Sunday, what you should do, Monday, Tuesday, whatever day your release time starts on, use it that way. But this is just a guide for you, and this will help you. It's something for you to be held accountable, so don't forget to take that, okay? Review your activity, okay? Here is your schedule, right? Your release time calendar, okay? And you have your curriculum, correct? I'm not sure if you have activities inside the curriculum. Do you or don't you? Do you have activities? No. Nope. But sometimes you guys add them, right, to make a point. So whatever you add, your color page or whatever it is, make sure that you have that. Not 5 minutes before, but do it on that. I'm just going to say we do release time on Sunday. Do it on that Monday, okay? And then run through your lesson like you know it, just like you know your testimony. Okay? Let's go to the next page. On this little scale here, I said rate your current system of how you prepare your lesson. Okay? Number one would be, Miss Kelly, man, I wing it. I work. I got to babysit. I got to take little Joey to soccer. I wing it. Or number 10 is, I can't wait for next time. Okay? So be honest. I'm not going to look at your paper. Go ahead and circle as you rate your current system. Is there a way that you could do it better in your mind? Is there a way that you could do it better? Okay. Can you shout out to me what's keeping you from doing it? One thing would be time. One thing would be you're unfamiliar with it. One thing would be your other priorities, your family, your job. How many of you would like to circle 10? I would. I get about 9, 9.5, because things happen, right? Being prepared for your lesson is the primary thing that's going to set the tone for your class. So as you rate, hopefully in 2 weeks, you can go back as you review your papers, right? And you can circle a higher number. Amen? And I put down here, Lord, how can I prepare better for my lesson? You can answer that on your own. You don't have to do that now. But as you pray, because we're going to be a person of prayer, right? You can come back and review, and then you can write down, Lord, how can I better prepare my lesson? But be ready for his answer. Because isn't it a sacrifice to be a teacher? Okay. The other way, what you could do is ask questions. When you go to your bus, are you by yourself? Help me understand. When you go there, are you by yourself or are you with somebody? You have a helper. Gotcha. And let's say that you're missing something in your bus or where you meet. Who do you go to if you're missing something? Is it just on us? Okay. So whoever you answer to, okay, for example, in Sunday school, I answer to the pastor. I need to go to them if I don't have my supplies. But what I want to tell you is ask questions, okay? Check to see that your supplies are there or in the bus or room. Make sure they work. Talk to someone if you have questions or need help setting it up, okay? Is it once a week that you go? Okay, so when you leave it, it's usually the same as you left it, is it usually? Yeah, good for you. Sunday school teachers have it worse because everyone uses the room. So if you think your paper's going to be here the next day, it's over here. So, okay. Okay. Arrive early. I know you can't probably, you have a certain time that you're allowed on the campus, or arrive early if you can. This gives you time to make preparations that only can be made at the last minute, and you can ensure the space is the way that you want it. When I came in today, my husband and I came in, and I set up my stuff over here, and it allowed me to exhale. When I was younger, I liked to work off of adrenaline, but ain't nobody got time for that now. So arrive early, okay? Review your guidelines and expectations. You have your calendar. When you're given this, when I used to give my team their calendar, I want to say, look, you know what's up. You hang on to this. You're accountable to it. On February 10th, we're talking about God's love for you. Okay? It's not a surprise. It's right here. They give you this for accountability. Okay? So review it. The other thing you need to do is to, in your bus, is focus on relationships. Okay? How many are in your bus typically each week? How many children? Yes. 30. Uh-huh. Right. Awesome. 27 or 29. Well, that's a lot. Uh-huh. 5 or 6. So when you have your smaller group, it's easy to learn their names, right? But when they're older, excuse me, when you have more, and when they're older, maybe sixth grade, focus on their name. If you eat at a restaurant, and let's say the chef comes out to you and says, hi, what is he, Zippy, Pinky, Diaper Pants? No. He says, hi, Art. How was your meal today? If the chef were to come out and say, hi, Art, how does Art feel? Important. Do you know that a child's name, well, they love to get mail, but they also like to hear their name. Daddies only spend about 20 minutes with them, with the children. That's what statistics are saying, 20 minutes a day. And to hear their name, it values them. So your smaller groups, it's easy. I remember like in Awana, I had a group at like 7. It was so easy. But when you have a bigger group, really focus on relationships, okay? And you can use the name game to ease the tension, okay? Yes. Yes. Yellow sticky. Yes. She takes a picture with their name tag on it. That's smart. Yeah. Yeah. Could we do that 15 years ago? No. Take a picture of it and have it readily available? No. But look what technology does today. That's a great thing. If a little boy is introduced to me, two brothers, and I get their names mixed up, it's gone. I will forever call him Bryce, and the other one call him Brian. I will mess it up all the time. So having that, that's a good way to remember. Take a picture of them with their name tag on it. Pray. Good. And you could pray for them too. Yeah. Great. Thanks for sharing. Focus on relationships. So one fun thing I did when I was like teaching second grade, I brought a picture of me in second grade. Because they don't believe that Miss Kelly was ever a child before. So I would do that. And then also I would show them pictures of my kids. They knew my kids on the campus, but I would show them a picture of my kids. All of that is relatable. When, let's say, a husband or wife are watching TV and he's a football fan and the wife isn't, you know how she becomes a fan? You tell that wife all about the quarterback's wife, where she shops, what she wears, what she eats, and she becomes a fan. Why? Because it becomes relational. Does that make sense? So give yourself away to the kids. That goes a long way. People will stay in a community not for the context of the community. They stay because of the relationships. So focus on your relationships. And Psalm 78, 2 through 4 says, "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and mighty wonders." So number one, to plan something for them or they plan something to you, lesson preparation is very important. Number two, personal preparation. What type of preparation? Personal. 1 Corinthians 4:2. "Now it's required that those who have been given trust must prove faithful." So have you ever walked into your bus or your classroom and the Turbo Tommies have showed up? They didn't take their meds and they're just jumping. And you say to yourself, "Lord, what am I doing here? Why am I here?" Right? That's when the rubber meets the road. And I'm talking about, are you called to do this or not? Okay? Because in the valley, if you know you're called, you'll stay. Because everyone likes to celebrate the high times of ministry. But there's the downtime of ministries. So you need to ask yourself, were you excited to volunteer for this ministry, or were you made feel guilty to serve? Or you thought you just fill a need? I like what Tommy said. He got hooked. You have that feeling, right? You get hooked because you feel, compassion for the children. But you and I both know people that just do this to be seen. They do it because they're related to the pastor. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that child deserve a teacher like that? No. So there are many wonderful reasons to teach, but guilt and obligation, they're not on the list, right? Guilt may prod you along, but it's never going to empower you. So your personal preparation, ask yourself, "Lord, am I aligned with what you want for me?" So how can we be personally prepared? Well, I'm talking about testing your motive. That's on here right here. Ask yourself, do I want to teach? WIIFM is this. What's in it for me? Okay? It's not a selfish thing, but Lord, what is it? What's in it for me? What am I doing? Well, I liked when I taught Awana or did Sunday school. I liked learning more about the Bible when I studied. I liked the relationship. I liked investing in lives that outlasted mine. So a good teacher says, "I choose to be here," but a great teacher says, "I want to be here." Life happens, doesn't it? Financial stress, personal issues, your job, and it pulls us, and it takes us away from opening that curriculum and fulfilling a commitment the way that we should. I have done it myself. I have looked at curriculum 20 minutes before I was supposed to teach. I'm not proud of that, but I'm just being real with you. But I ask myself, do these children deserve someone like that? No, they don't. So test your motive. Why are you doing what you're doing? And also, I'm going to add to this, can you disciple someone else to replace you? Right? Let people feel that privilege that you feel. Yes. Yes. Mm. good for you. She's saying that she does a Spanish ministry here, and as she goes forward, she's always prepared with lessons just in case someone doesn't show up. Very good. We used to have a substitute folder because with Sunday school, church starts at 8:30. My phone's blowing up at 7:30. Okay? I'm not even surprised. It just happens. Someone is going to fail. Okay? So I always have a lesson ready, and it's true. Thanks for sharing. So test your motive as you personal prepared. And again, listen for your calling. Ask yourself the Lord and ask your mentor. Hopefully you have a mentor. Am I called to teach? To thrive in kids' ministry and in ministry, you must sense a calling for God. I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but when those valleys come, sometimes you have to take a break. Sometimes you need to detox from your situation. That doesn't make you bad. My generation, it's seen as a sign of weakness, but today's world, it's not. Self-care is not selfish. So if you are flying by the seat of your pants every time you meet with these kids, do you think that's God's best? It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to spend some time thinking about why you're doing what you're doing. Okay? I don't say that as a downer, but I say that to be real, because if my granddaughter is in your classroom, I want her to have that best teacher she can. Don't you? Some other helps as far as you personal prepare. Review your next lesson right after you teach the previous one. Okay? I think I have some here. I have a little example of how to teach and how to prepare. You guys feel free to grab one of these. Review your lesson, your next lesson, right after you teach the previous one. You may need some, if you're going to do an activity, you may need cotton balls or whatever, and Rite Aid is not open 11:30 at night the night before, okay? So you may need other equipment. What I like to do is, when I know I'm going to teach before, I like to put myself inside that devotion. In other words, I think the next one here is make scripture covered in the next lesson part of your personal devotional time. Okay? So if you're talking about faithfulness, if you're talking about discipline, make that your personal devotion. Again, examine your heart. Do I have a servant attitude? You know if you're a servant by your reaction when someone treats you like one. Leading requires our time, discipline, and commitment. So right now what we're going to do is, all of us in this room are teachers, but sometimes there's stress in our life. Do I get an amen from that? Okay. So what I want each of us to do, we're going to do a little activity real quick. I want you to each take a balloon and blow it up and tie it. So can you, Art, can you pass these out on this side of the room? And then can you pass these balloons out, one each? And so when everyone's balloon is blown up, we'll go ahead and do the exercise. So this is a time where I want you to be vulnerable. This is a time where you're allowed to not have it all together. Miss Mary, you might have to blow yours up a little bit more. You might have to blow up yours a little bit more if you can. Yep. My generation grows up where I got it all together, look at me, I have a mask of perfection or whatever, but we need to be real. And this is an activity that you could do with your kids as well. Okay? All right. So I want you to bring your balloon. I want you, some of you stand here, and some of you stand over here. Okay? You got it? Okay, go ahead and stand in front here, or go ahead and stand in the aisles, or we're going to do something with our balloons. All of you. Yep. That's you all. Yep. Good job. You might have to hang on to the chair, but I want you to, is this, hi Juan, how you doing? Go ahead and put your foot on top of your balloon. See that? See what Juan's doing? Go ahead and grab to the chair and put one foot on your balloon and hold it like Juan's doing it. Okay. See how he's doing that? There you go. If you need to get where you're more balanced, you can get to the side right here. That's fine. Okay. I'm gonna name something that stresses us out as adults. And if that's you, if that resonates with you, I want you to put pressure on your balloon. If it doesn't resonate with you, just leave it. Okay? All right. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to switch this up. I want each of you to yell out to me what a stressor is in your life. Okay? Let's do that. Okay? I'll give you an example. A stress in our life that could maybe keep us from studying our lesson is financial stress. Right? So I'm going to say a financial stress. That might cause pressure, okay? If that's you, put your foot down a little bit harder. What else? Name out some of the stressors. Family drama. If that's a stressor in you, put more pressure on that balloon. Yell out to me, what other stress can happen in your life? Time. You have a job, you have to do some overtime, put more stress on that. What else? Cooking. Ooh, I'm going to go to your house. Cooking. Yes. You have to plan. You have to go to the store, and I forget my bags all the time. We pay 10 cents a bag. Okay? What else? Traffic. Traffic. Okay? Yes, traffic. That's a stressor. Lack of sleep. I thought balloons would be popping by now. It's okay to pop them. I know. Before they would pop. It's okay to pop them. Traffic. Job, time, what else? You're prodigal? Girl, I'd pop my balloon right now. There it is. Okay. Ministry itself. There you go. Yep. Yep. You do. All right. Go ahead, relax. Take your foot off the balloon. Good. Go ahead, take that balloon back to your seat. It survived. Good for you. Do you guys see how the stresses in life can cause us disruptions? How did you feel each time you put pressure on there? How did you feel? Nervous. Uneasy. Okay. So as you personally prepare, that feeling that you just felt, we don't want to feel that feeling anymore. Okay? I gave you a point of reference. God doesn't want you to have that. So as you personally prepare, try to pray through those stressors in your life. Same thing, some things are just accidents and they're emergencies. But if you can, just live a life stress-free. And take away those things in your life that stress you out. Can I get an amen? Number 3, managing the unexpected. Okay? Managing the unexpected. In Sunday school, my teachers would come to Miss Kelly, I planned for 15 and 25 showed up. Okay? They might not happen to you in release time, but things happen. Managing the unexpected. If there's one thing you count on in ministry, you can count on things not going as planned. You could count on, again, little Turbo Tommy not taking his medicine, right? So, how can you handle the unexpected? Amen. Knowing your lesson is vital. Knowing your lesson is vital. We should know it without looking at our notes. Okay? This is the 4 things that you should do with your lesson. Say you're talking about Noah. What do the children need to know about Noah? Why do they need to know it? What do the children need to do with Noah? Why do they need to do it? Do you see that? Think about how easy it is for you to share your testimony. Why is that? Because you know it. Your lesson weekly You should know your lesson. That's how you manage the unexpected. I'm going to tell you right now, when you're rifling through your pages, this is the boys and girls. Ah, we got her. It's like they treat you like a substitute teacher. Okay? So knowing your lesson is vital. And identify those Turbo Tommies and those Debbie Downers ahead of time. Why? So you can pray for them and how to deal with them, how to respond for them. The bottom line, kids need to leave your bus knowing Jesus a little bit more. A little bit more than when they first stepped on that bus. Okay? So ask the Holy Spirit to empower you with the ability to make those brief moments of time, they need to count for eternity. What do they need to know? Why do they need to know it? What do they need to do, and why do they need to do it? Amen? Number four, discipling in a learning environment. What kind of environment? If you got kids jumping off the walls, climbing the walls, there's other kids saying, oh, Miss Kelly, please make him sit down. They're not going to say it out loud, but inside they are, and then their stress goes up. You know that feeling you had when you're putting that pressure on that balloon? That's what those boys and girls are feeling. It ought not to be. So when a child blatantly disrespects you, okay, remember my days, Dad, why can't I go? Because I said so. Okay, these kids today, that doesn't fly. Okay, so if you know of discipline issues of the Turbo Tommy and in your school, what I do is I go to that teacher or that principal or whoever, that counselor, and I ask about them. If you can, you don't want to look in their IEP, you don't want to do that. How do you best deal with Tommy? Because why should you reinvent the wheel? Sometimes I meet with parents. Like in Sunday school, I meet with parents and say, how are you best having him maintain his enthusiasm? Okay? You don't have to go at it alone. That's all I'm telling you. Okay?
I want to say that is a very good idea because those teachers have already set a routine that works when the child knows what is expected.
Exactly.
Therefore, we can use what they use and just continue on.
Yes. You did the same? Yes. 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 Yeah. How do you best calm him down? How do you best? Yes. Yes. Because we'll get wrapped up on trying to invent something new and
works.
Right. Yes. God gives us examples of how to be patient. I remember I was posting some pictures of a countdown of being peaceful and waiting and you know, being Kelly Christian, if you will. And then my son, 6 hours before Christmas, he said he's not coming. I had to practice what I was preaching. The Lord will use your week in a way that will drive you to your knees, which is a good thing because every trial helps me to be a better Kelly and a better Christ follower because we learn to navigate the problem. So God gives us the freedom to choose, and the thing that we need to do is maybe give kids a voice to make them have a choice. So what I'm speaking to is just classroom management. Boys and girls, how are you guys doing? This is Miss Kelly. Give me 3 rules that we could abide by. Don't hit my neighbor. Participate with enthusiasm. Only talk when called on. Okay, who wants to write that on my whiteboard? Okay, they write it down. Okay, boom, boom. So we're going through my lesson, and someone's talking when they're not talking. Susie, what's number 2? Don't talk unless you're called. You know, okay. See how that puts it off of me and onto them. Does that make sense? So I let the kids choose. But the thing that I want to speak about, I have 5 minutes. The thing that I want to speak about is this. Sometimes even when the kids set their own boundaries, though, it's hard for them to follow. So this is what I say to them. You can either choose to participate with everyone or choose to spend time in the quiet seat. Okay? So they have two choices. You could participate or you can spend time in the quiet seat. No other choices but those two. But nope. Miss Kelly said, choose to participate or sit in the quiet seat. But nope. Miss Kelly said what? And everyone's saying, choose to be quiet. You know, they'll chime in. The kids will chime in. Okay? You can say or give a choice of the consequences. You can either be my partner for this activity or spend time away from the group. You decide. See how I give them the freedom? Let's go one step further. If you've given those choices and it's not working, say, I'm sorry. Tommy, you've been given choices and the chance to make it right. You've been given choices and the chance to make the right choice. Now it's my turn. See how you give them the choices, but also you're prepared for the consequences. That's just some verbiage to help you navigate that. Because let me tell you, every time you have it, don't you? You have it. And guess who's listening? Everybody else. And stick with it, okay? Let me go ahead and turn the page for time's sake. Is this in your worksheet? Did that get put in there? Okay. Can you go ahead and pass this out to everybody? So number one, the way that you plan something for them or they plan something for you is what? Lesson what? Preparation. The number two would be what? To personally what? Prepare. Number three is to manage the unexpected. And number four is discipline in a learning environment. Okay? So what she's passing out is the like schedule. Okay? I'm gonna pray. And then I have some freebies up here that I'm gonna give out to you. Father in heaven, we come before you, and as we just go over planning something for them or they plan something for you, I pray that just a little bit of nuggets was dispersed to your kingdom workers here, Father God. Some people have already heard this time and time again, but Father, it's good to have a reminder. It's good to jumpstart us, Father God, and to think of things from a different angle. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your children. Help us to be worthy, Father God, of doing it. We love you and we ask this in Jesus' name. All God's children said.
Amen. Okay, so what I have for you is I copied it this way so you can have this.